clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Give him glory, give him praise, give him thanks. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Walk up to two or three people and tell them, welcome to church. Tell them, this is Koinonia. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Are you saying it joyfully? Are you saying it prophetically? Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And there is a reason why we are glad. Because, hold on just a moment, in the house of God you find wisdom. In the house of God you find grace. In the house of God you find understanding. It says, when I came into the sanctuary of the Lord, then understood I. In the house of God you find hope, you find peace. Hallelujah. You're welcome to church. It's my joy and honor to welcome everyone. Let's celebrate our online family. Give them a big God bless you from all across the nations. This is Koinonia. Please, you may be gloriously seated. Hallelujah. I know you all are excited about the song. And hallelujah. So very shortly before I come up to bring the word, we're going to be ministering unto you. And just to put a few words, hallelujah, amen. So just to put perspective to the song, we are not musicians, we are worshipers. And the difference between a musician and a worshiper, with all due respect, is that one is concerned about the musical excellence and presentation, whereas the other is concerned about the life-giving component. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So beyond getting excited and getting happy, it's important that we position your spirit to understand what God is saying. I didn't know that God would give me the release to let this song out at this time, but I just sense that God has been doing, from the start of this month, God has been moving in such a way, and it's important to discern what he's doing and to respond in partnership. So I'll give you a few scriptures just to put perspective. Three scriptures. Number one is Isaiah chapter 55, 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The Bible says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and return not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Can we read verse 11 together if you're a child of God? One, to go. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Scripture number two. Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45. Joshua 21 and verse 45. I really love this scripture. My goodness. Receive it as a prophetic word. Can we do NKJV? The new King James Version. I think it gives us a better. All right. So everyone go ahead. Let's read together. One, two, go. How many came to pass? So how many will come to pass in your life? Does that include your health, your finances, your children, your spiritual life, your business, your destiny? Receive it as a prophetic word in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you the final scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God that is through us. So the title of the song you are about to hear is Amen. Hallelujah. And when God gave me this song, it came in bits, and it truly ministered to my spirit So I'm serving you the grace of God contained in this song, not just as a ministration from a man to people, but as one who has been the first recipient of the blessing of this song. This is a song of hope. This is a song of faith. This will wake someone's faith alive in the name of Jesus and bring you back to the consciousness of the integrity of God's word. And we're honored to have a beautiful, world-class Koinonia worship team. Let's give them a big God bless you. Hallelujah. So this song is really a reminder of the integrity of God's word. God's word can be trusted because God himself, the author of the word, has proven time and again that he can be trusted. Please listen, and where the song hits you, where the song resonates with your spirit, you are at liberty to rejoice. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, Amen.
Lord, and it will come to pass. When I establish every word, I declare, I declare, and I declare what the word says. And I establish every word,
spoken to
me. It will come to pass.
It will come to pass.
I believe.
I believe.
Yes, I believe. 'Cause it will.
Of faith, I believe. Make your declarations of faith. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Someone say so. Concerning your health, say so. Concerning your finances, say so. Make declarations of faith. This is where you participate in this song. Shalom Bratoski Abarabakata Brandigebelege Baratusiata. Make declarations of faith. I am blessed, the head and not the tail, above and not below, not beneath, going forward, making progress, doing much for the kingdom. Someone go ahead and declare, in the name of Jesus Christ, glory to glory, grace to grace, power to power, wisdom to wisdom. Shabaleka parantos yadabakapra gedebeleketa. I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word. One more time. I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word. It will come to pass. Amen. Stay right there. That's the part I want you to emphasize for a few minutes. You are making a prophetic declaration. It will come to pass. Amen. Over your life, over your health, prophesy with me. Say it will come to pass. Amen. Let your eyes be on Jesus. I'd like you to see possibilities as you prophesy tonight. It will come to pass. Thou mountain before Zerubbabel, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt be made plain. Say it will come to pass. Amen. And like this other part of the song, says it won't fail, because his promises are yea and amen. Shalabarantos kiadabakos. Say it won't fail. No, he will not fail you. He will not fail you in your finances, in your health. One more time, lift your voice. Say it won't fail. Let this sink into your spirit. Say it won't fail. Say it won't fail. Say it. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and he did unto Sarah as he has spoken. He visited Sarah as he has said. He visited Joshua Selman as he has said. He visited your family. He won't fail. He visits as he has said, and he does as he has spoken. He has the power to make his word come to pass. Are you ready to proceed? It will come to. Go ahead and make declarations of faith. I know it will come to pass. I may not see wind, I may not see rain, but I know my valley shall be filled with water to the glory of the name of the Lord. Though my beginning be small, I know that my latter end shall greatly increase. It will come to pass. Amen. I say yes. 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 I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. To your word. To your will. To your spirit. I say yes, Lord, to your promises, to your will, to your power. I say yes, Lord. I say yes. I say yes. I say yes. I say yes. It will come to pass. I believe it won't fail. Amen. I believe, amen, amen. I say yes to your word. Amen. Amen. I say yes. I say yes. Amen. Amen. I say yes to your word. Are you still praying? Amen. Amen. I say yes, I say yes, say yes, I say yes. Savalakosha brandegete bakata, to your power, to your wisdom, to faith, to glory, to the anointing, to your word, to direction. I say yes, Lord. I say yes. I say yes. I say yes, Lord. To your word. To your will. To your wisdom. To your power. Over my family. My destiny. I say yes, Lord. I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word spoken to. One more time, I decree.
I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word to me,
it will come to pass.
Amen.
I believe.
I believe.
It won't fail. Lift your hands, wave it to Jesus and give him praise and glory in the house of God tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We say amen to your word concerning our lives. Thank you. Thank you for the power of your word. Let it build faith in us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Give him a big hand clap. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Can you give the Koinonia worship team a big God bless you? Big God bless you. Gracious sounds of worship. Please, you may be gloriously seated. Welcome to church. That's God's word for you from now henceforth. Do you believe it? Yes, I believe. It's his word for you. The Bible says that everything he said, all of it came to pass. If it happened for Israel, it will happen for you. It will happen for me. It will happen for Koinonia. In the name of Jesus. One more time shout, I believe.
I believe.
One more time shout, amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's go to our discussion for tonight. For those of you who are attending Koinonia for the first time, this is us enjoying God, receiving wisdom, celebrating his grace and prophesying our way to the next dimension. Thank you very much for your presence, your time, and your attention. Spirit of the living God, we submit to your wisdom tonight, and we ask as always that your word will edify us. We sang yes, now we say yes. We decree and declare that the entrance of your word will give light and it will give understanding unto us. Be glorified. For in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. I'm teaching tonight in light with this song, and my topic is yes and amen. Yes and amen. Tonight we'll be proving through scripture the integrity of God's word. We are going to be proving the integrity of God's word. Two scriptures, we read one already. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. I like us to look at it from, we already read KJV. Let's try Amplified. The Amplified puts a beautiful rendition of this scripture. It says, for as many as are the promises of God, they are all in their yes answer in him, that's in Christ. It says, for this reason, we also utter the amen. So be it to God through him in the person and by his agency to the glory of God. Can you see how complicated that statement is? KJV just compresses it. And it says, all his promises are yes and amen. But if you read that, let's try, what version do we try now? NIV, NLT. It puts a very profound perspective. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. It says, and through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends unto God to his glory. Second scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Receive this already as a word of comfort. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. It says, the Lord isn't slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise the name of the Lord. The assignment of my teaching tonight is to culture you the more, to learn how to live by the word, and to grow your confidence in the integrity of God's word. The believers excelling in this kingdom does not just depend on what Christ has done. It depends on your belief in what he has done and the ability to place your faith and your confidence in God's word. God's word must gain supremacy in your mind, in your life, and must become final authority if you desire to walk in victory, if you desire to walk in dominion, and if you desire to live a life of purpose and a life of greatness. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus, in responding to Satan during his temptation, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And I've explained to you that bread here means that which is of man-made origin, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So I'd like us to consider a few contemplations as we build our understanding over this very delicate spiritual topic. There are many believers who wonder why their lives are not able to capture victory in experience. Some are knowledgeable of scripture as far as Bible memory is concerned. They will quote high, lofty, truthful verses, but they are not able to trap within their lives an experience of perpetual victory, not circumstantial victory, not once in a while victory, victory that demonstrates the dominion power of the word. There are not many believers who have had that experience. And it is God's desire that all of us in mass, not just a few, that all of us in mass, we step into that reality of the word of God made manifest, that we're able to derive maximum profit from God's word. So I'd like to start my discussion tonight with a reminder on the infallibility of scripture as an inspired resource that helps men to understand God and to understand his program. I just thought it was good to again lay that foundation. When you are considering a delicate subject like the word of God, it's important for us to be able to prove the infallibility of scripture. The word infallible, like I've taught you, talks about accuracy and potency. When we talk about the word of God being infallible, we mean that the word of God is, number one, accurate. Number two, the word of God is potent. Hallelujah. The Bible, as you know, I wrote here, is an inspired resource that contains the revelation of God to man. I'll take that again. The Bible, as revealed, you know, to us, is an inspired resource that contains the revelation of God to man, and it contains an accurate revelation of God's program through the ages. Comes from the Greek word biblios. Another close Greek word that is related to the word biblios is the word graphe. And the word graphe simply means a text, an inspired text, any documented text generally. And it just means a book, you know. So let me go straight to the point. When we talk about the word of God being reliable, being trustworthy, or scripture really, because you'll be learning, like I taught you, for those of you who are encountering this for the first time, there is a difference between scripture and the word of God. Are we together? The Bible is a compendium of the thoughts of God, but not everything in the Bible qualifies to be called the word of God. Everything written in the Bible was inspired of the Holy Ghost, but not every content in the Bible qualifies to be called the word of God. But generally, let me establish the infallibility of scripture. I told you, if you recall, in one of our doctrinal discussions, that the infallibility of scripture is not in its historic, intellectual, archaeological, or linguistic accuracy. Don't mind my play of words. Just get the spirit of what I'm saying. That means when we say the Bible is reliable, when we say the Bible is trustworthy, when we say the Bible is potent and is worthy of our commitment and our study, it is not because of its historic accuracy. There are many intelligent people, professors, those who are involved in world religions. And if you are to probe the Bible as a text, a religious text, it is possible that you may find errors, all kinds of errors, historic errors, maybe dates, maybe presentation of facts and all of that. Number two, the Bible is not infallible because of its intellectual accuracy. Very clearly, there are parts in scripture that when you read intellectually, it may insult your intelligence. You are going to find many things documented here that will bring a lot of confusion and sometimes anger and annoyance. You would find, for an example, how do you explain 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding 5,000 people with 12 baskets remaining? Yeah, it's a miracle, but how did it happen? How do you explain Jonah, for an example, getting into the belly of the fish, like the Bible said. How do you explain the incarnation that a virgin, not knowing a man, gave birth to a child, and you call that child a savior? They came to worship the savior, bringing him gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. When you read that intellectually, immediately, it just suggests that someone is joking or playing with your intelligence, and you throw away that manuscript and you want to look for something that is more intellectually appealing. So the infallibility of scripture is also not in its archaeological accuracy. I don't have the authority and the credence to speak about the archaeological integrity of scripture. I do not know, but this I know, that because it is an aggregate of many authors, like you'll be learning, at least 40 of them, through a span of 1,600 years, it is very possible that because these men are humans and it was canonized using a very delicate process that I don't have the liberty to share here. So it's very possible that you can have a lot of archaeological errors. Praise the name of the Lord. Finally, you don't study the Bible because you want to learn English. First and foremost, it was not written in English. English is one of the youngest of the modes of communication, historically speaking. Praise the name of the Lord. English as a language is pretty young relative to other ancient ones like Hebrew, like Italian, like Latin, like Greek, and so on and so forth. So the Bible was essentially written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and you find a little bit of Latin also, and then the New Testament was written in Greek and sometimes Aramaic. You find a combination of this. So it was translating the Bible that brought about what we know as an English text of it. And English is a rich word. We use it largely for communication, but from a standpoint of revelation, English is very limited. So there are certain errors that in translating words from Greek and Hebrew to English, you find out that mistakes were made. That's the reason why, even though it is the inspired word of God, we have all kinds of versions. The assignment of the versions is to bring contextual clarity. So you have KJV, you have New King James Version, and they are being updated. You have Amplified, you have CEV, you have NIV, you have RSV, you have all kinds. We have no less than 100 versions, as I know, today, and all of them attempting to bring clarity and to correct the limitation of English. Do you understand? So when we talk about scripture being infallible, again, I repeat, it is not in its historic accuracy, it's not in its intellectual accuracy as far as it appeals to the mind of the carnal man. It is not in its archaeological accuracy necessarily. It's not in its linguistic accuracy. But the word of God, or scripture, I would say, is infallible in its ability to accurately reveal God, its ability to accurately reveal Jesus Christ, its ability to accurately reveal man's condition alongside God's salvation plan for man, and then it ends with a revelation of man's eternal destiny. I'll take that again. When we say scripture is trustworthy, it's infallible, it's accurate, and it is potent, it is because regardless all of these frailties aforementioned, it is still accurate in its ability to reveal God. It gives a very clear, there is no other entity, no other documented material that gives a thorough revelation of who God is. There are many extra biblical texts, other religious books that talk about God. They talk about him as an integral part of a greater cosmic reality, for an example. Other books talk about him as one of many gods and not exclusive. It is only the Bible that gives God that exclusivity. It defines God in a way that brands him in a class all by himself. Hallelujah. And then its ability to reveal Jesus Christ. When you truly want to know who Jesus Christ is, you will have to consult the Bible to give you a very clear understanding of who Jesus is. Number three, it is accurate because of its ability to reveal man's sinful condition. No other material puts together intelligently a description of what was wrong with man, the defect of man, the result of the fall, and what happened as a result. The Bible has an intelligently aggregated submission as to man's fall from a spiritual standpoint. For an example, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That statement does not make sense until you go back to the book of the beginnings and start to trace what really happened to man from the fall and what happened, the law, the prophets coming to warn, nations becoming depraved, judgment coming upon the earth, and all until Jesus arrived. And then it is also accurate because it doesn't stop at revealing man's sinful condition. It now reveals and unveils to us the plan of salvation, both from a prophetic standpoint, teaching us that from the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain, and then teaching us how Jesus came and became an execution of that which was written. Hallelujah. That Jesus came, he walked upon the earth. It is true. He died, he was buried, he rose again. You know, he ascended. And Paul gives us greater theological perspective by helping us understand what happened in Hades. Even Jesus did not tell us the full gist of what happened when he went to the lower parts of the earth. But Paul, by the Spirit, according to Ephesians 3, 3 and 4, the Bible says that it was quickened to him for our sake to understand the mystery, so that when he communicates, we might understand his mystery in the knowledge of Christ. Right? And he began to give us the mystery of Christ and what happened and so on and so forth. And then, of course, the Bible is infallible because it now reveals to us the newfound status of the believer in Christ. Make reference to last week's teaching, I believe. We took out time to do a summary of the things that the believer should believe. We call them the things most surely believed. Among them, that we in Christ, we have become a new creation. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Paul was speaking and he said, there is neither bond nor free. You know, there's neither a Greek nor Hebrew, male or female, but all things have been collapsed in Christ, and now there's a formation of one new man, a new man who is in Christ. Hallelujah. And then the Bible also reveals to us the destiny of those who are in Christ. It does not leave us in limbo and in the dark, roaming around with salvation, with life, with wisdom, but going nowhere. The Bible is very clear, unmistakably clear, as to the destiny of those who are in Christ and as to the destiny of those who willingly, willfully reject Jesus Christ and reject his plan of salvation. So do you understand me so far? Praise the name of the Lord. I told you that generally there are three layers in studying scripture so that you will have profitable understanding. Number one, there is a historic or archaeological layer. When you study scripture, it is an archaeological material. It's a historic material. You can find useful knowledge. Even if you are not a Christian, if you are open-hearted, you can study the Bible as an archaeological material. I did say the last time we discussed this that there are people who use the Bible as part of their tools in preparing their academic dissertations. They are not necessarily Christians. Perhaps they are studying, say, world religions. And they consult many materials, including the Bible, including other extra-biblical texts, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the books of Jasher, the Annals of the King, and so on and so forth. And they piece together useful information as it will serve them academically. Praise the name of the Lord. Then the Bible has a doctrinal layer. Doctrine, Latin, doctrina, Greek, didaskalia. It means an instruction, precepts, that which empowers a student to assume the status of his master through knowledge. You have a doctrinal layer to scripture. That means if you study scripture as a historic material, it will be useful. All scripture is profitable, but it will not be most edifying if you stop at that level. You need to go past the layer of history and archaeology and study the doctrinal contextual layer of scripture. And then the final layer of scripture is called the prophetic layer of scripture, where you can draw wisdom by the Holy Ghost. Seeming unconnected verses can be taken positively out of their usual context, and the Holy Ghost can breathe upon them, and it can become life, it can become direction, it can become a rhema word for you. That word is usually applicable to you alone. You can't create a doctrine out of it. Are we together? The Holy Ghost can take a story that has a doctrinal foundation, a contextual foundation, and breathe upon it and give you unusual understanding, and you can draw light that is unique to your experience. Hallelujah. So a historic layer, doctrinal layer, and a prophetic layer. Now, like I told you, the Bible is a compendium of at least 66 books. The Bible, the version of it that we have, that we hold, that we use, is a compendium of 66 separate yet related books. We're establishing the infallibility of Scripture. Separate yet related books that were written by over 40 authors spanning through a period of about 1,600 years. 1,600 years from various walks of life. And the Bible is divided into the Old Testament into two categories. The Old Testament made up of 39 books and the New Testament made of 27 books. If you are usual with this knowledge and you are used to it, please allow me just take it slowly for the sake of those who are connected for the first time. So the Old Testament, 39 books the Bible teaches, the New Testament, 27 books. And we did say that technically not everything written in the Bible is the Word of God, because you see, the Holy Ghost inspired men to write down the things that, whatever things they wrote, but it did not mean that God agreed with the thoughts that were written. Are we together? For an example, writing that Satan said this, it was the Holy Ghost that inspired men to write it, but it does not mean the idea Satan was presenting was of God. The inspiration was about accuracy in writing, not accuracy in the thoughts that were presented. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. This is very important. All scripture is God-breathed, meaning it took God to breathe upon the people to write the details that were documented. So God-breathed, meaning it was the accuracy of the documentation, not necessarily the theological accuracy or the soundness of what was said. Now, what exactly is the Word of God? Let me jump very quickly, because the Bible talks about the Word of God. The Bible talks about Scripture. The Bible does not mention verbatim the word Bible, but we see the word Scripture and we see the word Word of God. And it seems as though they are similar but distinct. For an example, Jesus was speaking to the men who were on their way to Emmaus, and he said, foolish, you know, and slow of learning, ought not this and that and that. And he said, ye search the Scripture, for in them ye think you will find life. He says, they are they which testifieth of me. Luke 24:25, O fools and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The next verse, it says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory, you know? And then he said somewhere, he said, ye search the Scripture, for in them ye think you will find life, and you will not come to me. The Scripture are they that testify of me, me the Word. So you now see that he gives a slight difference between Scripture and the Word. Scripture here talks about inspired, documented writings. But the Word of God, what exactly is the Word of God? So let me go back for a moment. Let me give you at least two reasons as to why the Bible, as a manual in knowing God and growing spiritually, is to be trusted. Number one, at least 40 different men, I wrote here, 66 books written in at least three languages over a period of 1,600 years. And then they have their thoughts aggregated in one unified material, and they largely do not conflict. That's a great miracle there. That many of these people who were inspired to write the Bible. Now, if you read the Bible, you would think Jeremiah knew Isaiah, Isaiah knew Amos. You think they were just relatives from the same family, but some of them never knew themselves. It's like you are documenting what has happened in the church for the last 200-300 years. You will document a lot of moves, and when you're reading, it will look as though this person knew this person, but some of them never met themselves. As they prophesied, their dispensations, they prophesied and they left. And then some other persons came, but when you put all their thoughts together, you find out that there was a straight line talking about the same thing. That already tells you that the hand of God is upon that inspired material. It couldn't have been a mistake that Isaiah spoke about Jesus. It couldn't have been a mistake, are we together? That all of the prophets, every single one of them, They began to speak about Jesus. Moses spoke about the book of life. You can imagine several things happened in scripture that could not have been a mistake. And don't forget that not all of those people were priests or preachers, as it were. Some of them were businessmen. Some of them were governmental people. Some of them were demoniacs. Some of them were ordinary people. Some of them were kings. Some of them were nobles. Some of them were scribes. They were Pharisees, and so on and so forth. Number two, the fulfillment of prophecies that are written there. The second reason why the Bible is a trusted material in learning God, in growing spiritually, and revealing the destiny of man is because of the prophecies that are there written. For an example, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, I believe Matthew 3 and verse 3, please give it to us. The Bible says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." You can see right there. Isaiah, as you call it, spoke years ago, and they are making reference when they saw John the prophet, that you call John the Baptist. John began to manifest something that was consistent with a prophetic word that Isaiah gave, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his path." When Isaiah was saying that, he never knew that the name of the person who will personalize that prophet, that prophecy, will be called John. He just knew that God showed him, and he wrote it and went to be with the Lord. Many, many years later, someone comes in the spirit and order of what he has said and is living that reality. Another example you find is in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 17. So the fulfillment of prophetic words, you find scripture saying again, "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying," let's look at 18, "In Ramah there was a voice to be heard, lamentation and weeping." Remember, this was when they killed children on account of Jesus's, you know, they were looking for Jesus, and children from 2 years. Now, it was Jeremiah who saw this. Can you imagine how long that was? He prophesied that he saw and heard a lamentation in a place called Ramah. You can imagine. And this will be fulfilled. Only God knows how many years. You need to consult history to find out how many years from the time Jeremiah wrote this prophecy to the time that it manifested. Prophetic words. How about Matthew chapter 4 and verse 14? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 14. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet," again saying, 15, "In the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness had seen a great light." Did you know this prophetic word was a revelation of the coming of Jesus? And whilst Isaiah was saying it, he just began to prophesy by the Spirit. It was documented and trapped here. And nobody really knew who was going to act it out. When Jesus manifested, they now said, look what this man is doing. Because you see, they were students of history and prophecy. Even though they really did not have the full scope, they didn't have the knowledge thoroughly, as it were, but they always went to the temple to learn. And so when they saw Jesus living out his life, they said, this parallels what Isaiah the prophet said. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, it said, "But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets," that means every true prophet who came by the Spirit, scattered across the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, said at least one thing that pointed to the revelation of God, at least one thing that pointed to man's condition, at least one thing that pointed to Jesus in prophecy, at least one thing that pointed to salvation, at least one thing that pointed to eternal destiny. So they were not really called prophets just because they foretold. They were prophets because they were able to trap something that was consistent with God's plan of salvation. Are we together? Take for an example, did you know that John, who was called the greatest prophet, if you read your Bible, John did not give so much prophecies. If you are comparing based on the volume of prophecies, you should not call John the greatest. You should call people like Isaiah, like Jeremiah. I mean, these guys saw things, they saw creation before, they saw parts of creation that Moses did not see. And yet the Bible says of all the prophets, none of them was as great as John. And yet John barely said anything. He just said, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." Are we together? And that was as far as he went. And yet the Bible calls him the greatest. So when the Bible calls people prophets, he does not just call them prophets just because of their capacity to foretell. He calls them prophets largely based on their capacity to trap realities that concern the plan of God and reveal to people. Is somebody learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. Meaning, there were other prophets in the Bible that the Bible recognizes but does not honor. For an example, prophets of Baal and other prophets, they did a lot of foretelling. They did a lot of prophetic, you know, all kinds of things, but none of them was interested in connecting anything that had to do with the plan of salvation. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so let's go very quickly. What exactly is the Word of God? Don't forget our discussion tonight. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. We are probing the integrity of God's Word. What exactly is the Word of God? There are three definitions to the Word of God according to Scripture. Number one, the Word of God is Jesus Himself. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word of God is Jesus, the living Logos of God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your greatest understanding of God's Word should not be truth contained within a book, but a person, the Savior, the King, Christ Himself. He's called the Logos of God. And probably I will put a word on all of those Greek words just for your understanding. I hope you're following. If you're following, shout amen. Amen. Right, thank you. So the Word of God, first and foremost, talks about the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the Bible says the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, it says all things were made by Him. It personifies the Word. Not by it, by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him again. Are you seeing that now? In Him the Word was life, and that life was the light of men. So it's taught, every time the Bible referred to the Word of God, especially from John's account, it says Him. It says Him. So foundationally, the Word of God refers to Jesus, the Logos of God. And I'll put a word on that shortly. Colossians chapter 1, 15 and 16, please. Very quickly, Colossians chapter 1. Who is the image? So he's certainly not just talking about a thing. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. It says, for by Him were all things created. Does that look like John 1, 3? By Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, whether visible or invisible, whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by Him, and they were created for Him. The Word of God refers to the person of Jesus Himself. Number two, the Word of God is a compendium of the thoughts of God. A compendium of the thoughts of God. An aggregate of God's idea about all things, all matters, the thoughts of God. Again, it comes from the word logos, the thoughts of God. God's perspective on every and all matter is called the Word of God. This is very important. That means when you open your Bible, the only portion of Scripture you can call the Word of God is any writing, any thought, or any idea that is consistent with the way God thinks and the way God operates. Are we together? If you open the Bible, for instance, and read about the deception of Satan, that is Scripture because it was inspired. But that story about Satan's deception is not the Word of God, because it does not contain within it the way God behaves. Is somebody learning now? It can profit you, but it cannot give you life. Because the Word of God is the life-giving portion of Scripture. All portions of Scripture profit, but not all portions of Scripture give life. The life-giving portion of Scripture is what you call the Word of God. That which is consistent with the thoughts of God. That which is consistent with the modus operandi of the kingdom. As the second definition of the Word of God, the thoughts of God, capable of ministering life, capable of ministering wisdom. capable of quickening. It says the law of the Lord are perfect, reviving or quickening the soul. Number three, let me hurry up so I just get out of this area and then we'll discuss some other things. The word of God also refers to the direct speakings of God. The direct speakings of God that are captured beyond the scope of the Bible. The direct speakings of God. That includes the speakings of God that are beyond the scope of the Bible. The reason is because God has not stopped speaking. The Holy Ghost still speaks to men. And that which is communicated is still the word of God. It is called the Rhema of God. Please listen very carefully. Hallelujah. So the speaking, when we talk about the word of God, it is largely contained in the Bible. But the word of God is not limited to the Bible. Is somebody learning now? The word of God is largely contained. The Bible has the richest aggregation of the speakings of God and the thoughts of God. But the word of God is not limited to the Bible. Because way before the Bible was put together, the idea of the word of God was already there. If the Holy Ghost speaks to me right now and communicates the counsel of God, what he has told me is called the word of God, even though I cannot find it verbatim in scripture. Now, I should find a scripture that validates what he has said to bring confirmation to it. Are we together? There is nowhere in scripture called Guarimpa. There's nowhere in scripture called Kubwa. There's nowhere in scripture directly written as Nigeria. Are we together? But the Holy Ghost can speak the word of God to you, and it qualifies to be called the word of God. So the word of God talks about the direct speakings of God, the ones contained in scripture, and the speakings of God today by the Holy Ghost. Are we together? That are beyond the scope of that which is captured in scripture, however consistent with that which is captured in scripture. If you're understanding me, say amen. These are very subtle doctrinal, you know, I's and T's to dot and cross. If you don't have that understanding, you will not be able to receive from God. Meaning, if the Holy Ghost speaks to me today, what he's communicating to me is as potent, if it is truly the Holy Ghost, as that which is written here. Are we together? But the difference is that that which he has told me, because it is coming through the ears and the spirit of a frail vessel, it must be tested by the word of God, which has been proven already. Because we see in part and we prophesy in part. And I can think God spoke to me, but upon probing what he told me, you find out that it's inconsistent with the word of God. At that point, no matter how convinced I am, I must dump what I thought I heard and stay with that which is written. Do you understand now? This is very important. If not, you will get into a lot of error, because Satan can appear as an angel of light. He can tell you a lot of thus saith the Lord, and you will be saying amen, yes sir, amen, yes sir. But if you do not learn how to bring the speakings you are receiving and to check it against the word of God that's been verified, you may fall into a lot of error. Who understands me so far? Praise the name of the Lord. So again, for one last time, when you talk about the word of God, it talks about the person of Jesus. Number two, the word of God talks about a compendium of God's thoughts, God's ways, God's modus operandi as captured and aggregated in scripture. Number three, it talks about all genuine speakings of God, that which is captured in scripture and that which the Holy Ghost quickens in the spirit of the believer today, here and now. From a theological standpoint, there are four expressions of what you call the word of God. This is just a digression, I thought, to help us understand. The first is the word you call scripture, or you can call it graphe. It comes from the Greek word graphe, G-R-A-P-H-E, and it simply means an inspired text. This right here, a text that was written and printed by Zondervan, Whitaker House, Bible Society of Nigeria, or whatever religious body. Are we together? Now, that is profitable. The Bible says all scripture is profitable. It's profitable because it can bring awareness and it can bring enlightenment to the believer. But if it stops at that level, it may not profit you much. Then there is the dimension of God called the Logos of God. And that one is twofold. There is the Logos of God as a person, the living word. Then there is the Logos of God as the thoughts of God. That means you have extracted the thoughts of God from scripture. That becomes Logos. Graphe talks of the generic writings that were inspired by the Spirit. The Word of God and every other writing that made it into the Bible is called Graphe. But when you talk about the Logos of God, it talks about, number one, God Himself as a walking, living expression of the thoughts of the Father. And then number two, as the portion of scripture that contains the life of God, that contains the ways of God, that contains the wisdom of God. Then there is what we generally know as Rhema. Rhema here talks about, it is a word bespoke. Revealed word, but not just revealed word, it is bespoke to bring unique solutions to you. So when you talk about a Rhema word, that means the Holy Ghost has breathed through this letter of scripture and he has quickened a word, are we together, to bring a unique solution that is to you. That solution cannot be made doctrinal because the solution attends to your unique needs. It's called the Rhema word. Rhema word. Hallelujah. And then generally you have what, according to scripture, called the sent word. That is a dimension of God's word that brings supernatural manifestations, healings, deliverances, the sent word. The sent word. The sent word. He sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all their oppression. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. We just sang it beautifully here, but shall accomplish the things and then the purpose for which I sent it. I sent it. That one is beyond the revealed word. That one is beyond the quickened word. He sent it as a messenger to accomplish something and return to him. Hallelujah. That's the reason why we sang boldly and confidently that it will come to pass, because he sent it. My assignment is to show you how you can align with that word and bring it to pass. If you understand anything at all from all that I've said, please pray in the spirit for 1 minute.
I believe it won't fail. Amen.
I believe, 1 minute, you're praying.
It will come to pass. Amen. I believe, yes, I believe, it won't fail. Amen. I believe, amen, amen. I say yes to your word, amen. Amen. I say yes. I say yes. It will come to pass. Amen. I believe. Yes, I believe. It won't fail. Amen. I believe.
Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, let's look at the nature and the character of the Word of God. If it is the Word of God, it must do the following. Number one, the Word of God is creative. The Bible is clear as to the fact that if it is truly the Word of God, then it must be creative. The Word of God sustains within itself creative capabilities. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's hurry up, media. Genesis 1 and verse 3, we're looking at the nature and the character of God's word. Genesis 1, 3, and God said, let there be light. And the Bible says there was light. God said, scripture says, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, the word of God is creative. Through faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand that the word of God framed the entire world. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. Let's read it together if you are able to see it. One, two, go. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The word of God is creative. This is powerful. Someone say creative. Meaning the raw material is nothing. From nothing, God can make something. The word of God is creative. Who believes that? So even when you are reduced to nothing, you bring the word of God there. Nothing is still a raw material if it is the word of God. One final scripture, John 1 and 3. The word of God is creative. We read that earlier on. All things were made by him, the word, and without him was not anything made that was made. Say the word of God. Shout it like you're learning. Say the word of God is creative. The word of God has creative power. Number two, the word of God is corrective. The word of God is corrective. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please, 16 and 17. The word of God is corrective. All scripture, the Bible says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable in its ability to provide doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Next verse, please. It says that the man of God, on account of the reproof, the doctrine, the correction, a man of God may be matured, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is corrective. That means when you are deviating from the path of righteousness, when you are deviating from the ways of God, when you study the word of God, for an example, it sustains the power to realign you. That's the original understanding of the word repent. The word repent, I told you, is not limited to sinners converting to become saints. Repentance means align yourself to the reference, to the standard. Number three, the word of God, if it is truly the word of God, it is revelatory. Please write that down. The word of God is revelatory. It reveals. The word of God does not just inform, it reveals. Psalm 119 verse 130. 119:130. The entrance of thy words gives what? Light. Gives light. Light here is beyond intelligence. Even though it adds to your intelligence, the word of God is beyond an information that you just receive that is better than the one you had. It gives you revelation. The Bible says it gives understanding unto the simple. The word of God is revelatory. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Let's read together if you are able to. One, two, go. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Think about that. And the joints and marrow. Then the Bible says it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is revelatory. Immediately you see that the word of God is also prophetic. Whatever can search, can divide the bones, the marrow, and separate the spirit and soul and discern the content of a man's heart must be prophetic. The word of God is revelatory. If you want to add, and prophetic. Number four, very quickly for sake of time, the word of God is transformative. I like this one. The word of God is transformative. It doesn't just give you enlightenment. Acts 20 and verse 32. 20 and 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is not only able to give you light, it's not only able to give you intelligence. The Bible says it can change your state. It can build you up and then deliver unto you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. That means even among them which are sanctified, there are those who are built up, but there are those who are not built up. Hallelujah. The word of God is transformative. What does that mean? It can impart upon you the mind of Christ and transit your life. It can alter your belief system. Transformative. That's what is happening to you week in, week out, as you submit to the various teachings of the Word of God, one subject after another, one dimension, one perspective. Among the many things is working intelligence, is giving you light, illumination, you know, being prophetic, helping to realign you, correcting you, reproving you in righteousness, but it's also altering your belief system. Now, you may not know how far you have been altered for good until you stand where you used to be before and you find out that place cannot receive you again because you have transited. Who understands me? 1 John 5:13, please. 1 John 5:13. It says, "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. I wrote these things." You already have it, but I'm bringing you into a mentality. The word "know" there is not just the word awareness. It's the word epignosis, that you come into oneness with that knowledge, incapable of doubting it again. It has become one with you. It has gone past the realm of being an information. It has become one with you, inseparable. Are we learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. So the Word of God is creative. The Word of God is corrective. The Word of God is revelatory and even prophetic. The Word of God is transformative. Let me give you one more. This is by no means all that the Word of God provides, but this is just to give you a skeletal description of the nature and the character of the Word of God, so that when you say, "I believe the Word of God," these are the things you expect it to do in your life. Is someone learning now? When you say, "I believe the Word of God," you are not just saying, "I believe a truthful information." You are saying, "I believe that which has capacity to create realities. I believe that which has the power to correct me and bring alignment." So when we say you are walking in the Word, you now see that you are walking in the light. It will be impossible for you to deviate beyond, you know, a level where you can come back and walk in victory, no matter how you veer off. The Word of God sustains the power to bring you back because it is corrective. The Word of God is revelatory. Anybody who is a student of Scripture, a student of the Word, I tell you sincerely, whether you have the privilege of secular education or not, it does something to your intelligence. Are we together? Because of the revelatory dimension of the Word of God, if you engage the Word of God properly, truthfully, and you are mentored, you'll find out that it will heighten your level of intelligence. The way you see life and the way you interpret things will become phenomenal. The Word of God is transformative. Final thought on the nature and character of the Word. The Word of God quickens and empowers. The Word of God quickens and empowers. Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 and 2. The Word of God, if it is truly the Word of God, it quickens and it empowers. Quickens and empowers. Quickens. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto you." Verse 2. "And the Spirit entered into me." Did you see that now? Not just the words. "The Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet." It entered into me. It quickened me. It empowered me. I desire to rise to a higher level in life, a higher level in ministry. You see that? But I was incapable of doing that by my own strength. But as I received the Word of God, it quickened me. Habakkuk chapter 3, 3 and 4. Let's look at that quickly. Can you take it higher for me? Habakkuk 3, 3 and 4. "God came from Teman." It's a popular scripture. When we read 3, then we'll switch to Amplified to read 4 media. "God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Sila. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise." Now let's read verse 4 if you are able to. Amplified. 1, 2, go. "And his brightness was like the sunlight. Rays streamed from his hand. And there in the sun-like splendor was the hiding place of his power." God's power hides in his light. When you find his light, you find his power. When you know where his word, his light is going, you also know where the power of God is going. Is someone learning now? This is very powerful. God's word has power. God's word is able to quicken. God's word is able to empower. Next thought tonight, and this is the zenith. This is really the height of our discussion tonight. How to be built by the word. How to be built by the word. Many believers know how to receive the word, but they do not know how to be built by the word. And I want to show you. I don't want to take for granted. I owe you a spiritual responsibility to not just teach you how to appreciate the word, but you need to learn how to be built by the word. Acts 20:32 already told us that the word sustains the ability to build us. To build us. That means if you say you are a Christian, if you say you have been interacting with the word of God and there's no evidence of being built, it is because you do not know how to engage the word of God to be built by it. So very quickly, without wasting your time, Jesus told us in Matthew 4 and verse 4, we read that earlier, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That means we live by that which is of earthly origin, but we also live by our abiding, our staying, our functioning, our submitting to the word of God. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, very instructive scripture. The apostle said, we will not leave the ministry of the word to go and serve tables. Appoint for yourselves this and that, people full of the wisdom of God and so on and so forth. Verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves, not just we will pray, not just we will study, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There are three major ways to be built by the word. There are three major ways. Any believer who desires to be built by the word, there are three major ways to be built by the word. Very simple but profound. Number one, the first way we are built by the word is by intentional study of scripture. Intentional study. In fact, let me add, intentional and consistent study of scripture. Please write that down. The first way the saints are built by the word is by an intentional and consistent study of the word. We read 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15. Now let's stretch it to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 to 17. Intentional and consistent study of the word. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. Notice, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ. 16, then it says, all Scripture, the Scripture that made you wise, the Scripture that built you, all Scripture, inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, he started as a child, but because he settled down to engage scripture, he was later called what? The man of God. So it's not just a caller with all due respect that made him a man of God. Between a child and a man of God, he submitted to the ministry of the word. He became built by the word. That from a child, you started by receiving the word of God and you allowed it to fulfill its ministry in your life. At the end of it, you are now called a man of God. Number two, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. It says, study. I like this portion of scripture. Paul is talking to his son in the gospel. He doesn't just say gloss through, look at it. The word study means give attention, be intentional, investigate, consult other materials to broaden your understanding. Many believers are truthfully lazy when it has to do with investing in the word. They see the word of God, the ministry of the word, as a necessary spiritual luggage they have to add to themselves. And they don't pay attention. Little wonder their lives seldom, you know, represent or capture the glory, the power, the wisdom of God. If at all it even does that. Many believers are stunted because their knowledge bank spiritually is very small. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Say, I receive grace. Remember, you are a believer. Shout it, say, I receive grace. To be intentional and consistent with the study and the reading of scripture. Again, say, I receive grace to be intentional and to be consistent with the study and the reading of scripture. One last time, you're still prophesying. Say, I receive grace to be consistent and intentional with the study and the reading of scripture. Yes, sir. It takes study. That's why the Bible talks about the labor of the word. It's one of the reasons why you honor men of God. When you honor men of God, whether through your givings or through by esteeming them for the work's sake, it is because it is a laborious demonstration of faith to sit down and open this Bible. Now, I understand, and it's a truthful admission, that not every man of God is truly a student of scripture. There are people who just gloss carelessly, pick one, two scriptures, and just say anything. But I can assure you, there are people who sit down on this thing. They sit down. While others are sleeping, they are awake. It takes a level of intelligence invested into the study of scripture to truly find light. That the Holy Ghost is helping you does not mean you should be lazy. Hallelujah. Let me use this opportunity to encourage everyone who labors in the word, every man and woman of God, let's trust God for grace at a level like never before to sit down, open this scripture, and invest whatever it takes to be sound, doctrinally sound, intelligent in understanding what the word of God says, and to be able to communicate light. And I believe God will help us in Jesus' name. So the first way to be built by the word of God is to intentionally and consistently invest in the study of scripture. Number two, very quickly, listening to scripture as a habit. Listening to scripture as a habit. Luke 11:28. Listening to scripture. He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You cannot keep what you don't hear. Blessed are they. The word blessed means empowered to become, empowered to manifest. Blessed are they which hear the word of God. The hearing of the word of God comes when you give attention to listening to the word of God. And our generation and our dispensation is most privileged to have all of the technological devices that help our listening. You can be traveling 40,000 feet above sea level, and yet it does not interrupt your listening. You can hear, put your AirPods, and there are various ways to listen without being distracted or distracting others. When I talk about listening to the word of God, I'm not saying, for an example, you live in a compound with three or four people, and when people finish praying, they're about to sleep, you now put your speaker and make it loud enough for everybody until the police comes to arrest you and all of that. That's not what I'm saying, because sometimes believers do those things and they think they are trying to force the neighbors to hear the word of God. That's not your concern. You are not the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But you must invest in listening. Invest in listening. You cannot use the excuse of electricity or any of these things. Technology has taken that excuse away. Literally, from when you are leaving home until you get to your place of work, the 20 minutes, 30, 15 minutes, rather than wasting your time in anger, insulting people because of traffic, why don't you focus on building the word? You can have the word spoken to you. I mean, it's already, just go on YouTube, and there are all kinds of Bible on, you know, MP3 and all kinds of things. It's free. We have the words of Jesus distilled already. We have words that talk about scriptures that talk on healing, scriptures that talk on... Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. This is how our fathers were built. Let's not get too sophisticated that you think listening to the word of God is an elementary, basic thing. And now there are others who feel, why should I invest in listening to the word of God? It's too elementary. I'm in a dimension in the spirit. You talk like that, you will be surprised. You will be surprised. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, yeah, faith cometh by hearing. I don't know about you, but in the name of Jesus Christ, you see this ministration of this song, I'm just waiting to finish, and when I go home, I will wear this song out. I've listened to it. It's a song God gave me, but now that it's been presented, I will go back and put it again on repeat. This time around, there's no packaging. I'm not on stage. This is me and my destiny. And then once it plays, I will pause that part. and say, my spirit, did you hear what I said? My destiny, did you hear what I said? Satan, I hope you heard too. All kinds of spirits, did you hear that? That the word of God says, I am blessed. And what do I repeat? I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm healed. It's called homologio. You repeat as you have heard. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's very important. Listening to scripture. Listening to scripture. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Zero faith, zero hearing. Low faith, low hearing. Serious faith, serious hearing. You are built by what you hear. Now you are hearing and it's building faith. Am I right on that? Your being built through the years has come at the instance of your hearing. Hearing and seeing, but hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. You listen to scripture. And listen to scriptural or scripture-based materials. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. We have come to a point in the church age where you have to minimize listening to nonsense. I'm not saying avoid it, but minimize it. Don't waste your journey by polluting your spirit, polluting your mind. I'm not saying to not be in touch with what is happening. No, you should. You're a responsible citizen. But every time it is overtaking you and you find out you are beginning to doubt the word of God, you get back to listening to the word of God. What does the word of God say? You return with a medical report and it says you have cancer. Now the doctor has given you his educated opinion. You see, that's a fact based on what the machines and his learning have interpreted. But now you know that you have a responsibility to fight the fight of faith. And it starts by listening. Starts by listening. I decree and I declare. This is you listening now. What the word says over me, I prophesy and I establish every word spoken to me. Doubt is living. I decree and I declare what the word says over me. I prophesy and I establish every word spoken to me. It will come to pass. Amen. That one day I will move from a tenant to a landlord. This I believe. It will come to pass. Amen. That though my beginning be small, my latter end will greatly increase. This is you hearing. It will come to pass. Amen. Do you believe that? That it will come to pass. Amen. That one day you will have the privilege of traveling around the nations of the earth for Jesus. It will come to pass. Amen. That very soon you will override the bills for Sound of Revival with a single check. It will come to pass. Amen. That in old age I will be fat and flourishing. Cancer will not take me. It will come to pass. Amen. That koinonia will only go from glory to glory. No going up and coming down. Prophesy. Say it will come to pass. That when they gather together to eat up my flesh, they will stumble and they will fall. It will come to pass. Amen. I believe. It won't fail. That's the power of listening to the word of God. You sleep with a material like this. Let it keep playing. I know you don't have the rent. Yes, let it keep playing. I know people don't, they are not yet sure whether God called you or not. When you go for a meeting, they honor the ones they think God called and push you aside. You don't need to say God called me to an hour. Keep listening. Keep listening. Keep listening. Let the word of God build you. A day will come, God will orchestrate an event. They will ask you to close the service. And as you hold the mic and just say, let us pray, heaven will come down on that meeting. And that will be the beginning of your announcement.
Amen. I believe. Yes, I believe it won't fail.
That means if I don't see the promises, the story is not over. I know it is over when I win. I know it is over when I win.
It won't fail. The word says, I'm blessed. I say, amen. The word says, I'm here. And I say, amen. The word says, I'm free. I say, amen. The word said, I'm anointed. I'm anointed. I'm anointed.
Come on.
I'm anointed. Anointed. Anointed.
Whether you like it or not,
say you're anointed.
Doesn't matter who likes you or who hates you. He has anointed your head with oil.
Say, I'm anointed.
Anointed for business. Anointed for exploits. Anointed to reign in politics. Anointed to carry his word to the nation.
To pass. Amen.
Family, it's already a cliche. Children don't come in this family. Let them mock while you listen. Let them mock while you listen. Let them mock while the word of God builds you.
It won't fail. Amen. I believe. Yes, I believe. It will come to pass. Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, you've heard me say, it's a waste to explain yourself when you are still on the journey. Focus on winning. When you win, it's easy to explain because the results have a loud way of validating the hand of God. This is your prayer all the time. Till now, there's no job. How are you going to explain it? There's no point wasting your time. You keep listening, keep praying, keep building. Have one assurance that God is not slack concerning his promises. Please be seated.
It won't fail. Amen.
So we study the scripture intentionally, consistently. And then we listen to the scripture as a habit. Number three, the third way we are built by the scripture is when we engage in confessions of faith. Confessions of faith and faith-filled declarations. Confessions of faith and faith-filled declarations. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28. Your mouth has a role to play. I'm telling you. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. When it's time to speak, speak, oh. Don't keep quiet. Don't say they are speaking for me. No, it's your destiny. Take responsibility. I may not see the wind, I may not see the valley, the rain, but my valley shall be filled with water. Do you believe that? Everybody say, I'm a blessing. Yes. Don't just believe it, you must say it. I've taught you, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You cannot win in this kingdom when you are silent. Your advantage is your speaking. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Faith-filled confessions, declarations of faith. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He's redeemed them, but they must affirm it. They must creatively declare it. Ezekiel 37 and verse 7. I like this. I prophesy and I establish. Ezekiel, did I get that right? 37:7. I prophesy and I establish every word spoken to me. I prophesy and I establish every word spoken to me. It says, son of man, can these bones live? Can this business live? Can this family live again? This family that has had the plague of death, can they live again? And the prophet said, honestly, only thou knowest. And he said, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. Verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded, not as I wanted. I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. No prophecies without an effect in the realm of the spirit. There was a noise, then a shaking, then bones came together, bone to his bone. Bone to his bone, helper to helper, helper to helper, business partner to business partner. Hallelujah. You must learn to declare the word of God. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8. It says, the word is nigh thee. The word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. Don't keep it in your heart alone. The word is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach. That with the heart believing happens, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto lifting. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, out of thy mouth, out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate first with your heart day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. As you meditate, you begin to mutter, you speak. You speak. Let me tell you sincerely, we are here by the grace of God. But I was sharing with our Canada and US family. I told them that when people say it's just God's grace, as though to trivialize your contribution, tell them it is God's grace maximized. Because grace can be wasted. It is God's grace maximized. He sends the grace, but you received it with gratitude and did something about it. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Profound scripture. 8:20 Isaiah. It says, to the law and to thy testimony. Read with me the remaining part. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That means those who carry light are not people who are silent. They speak, and there is a manner in which they speak. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, yes and amen. What does it take to make the word of God manifest in your life? What does it take to make the promises actually manifest in your life? This, for me, I think is the most instructive part of this teaching tonight. It's not enough to know God can do it. It's not enough to know God has done it in Christ. You must realize that it is possible, that you are aware of the fact that God has done it, finished in Christ, but it may never manifest in your life. Manifested in Christ. It is God's desire for all believers to walk in the reality of everything Jesus died for. It is God's desire for all believers, regardless denomination, all believers, once you are in Christ, know this for a fact, that it is God's desire for you to walk in the reality of his promises, the reality of all that he's done for you in Christ. 2 Peter and verse 1 and verse 4, it says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now there are six keys, and I'll run them very quickly. Six keys that are responsible for manifesting divine realities, responsible for making promises manifest, spiritual realities manifest. Six keys. I give you a guarantee by the integrity of God's word. If you engage these six keys, then God's word will be to you yes and amen, regardless what the issue of concern is. Yes and amen is not just a careless word. Yes and amen is a proposition that can be received or rejected by engaging these six keys. I'm teaching you how to engage the word of God now so that it produces profit in your life. Number one, the first key, you must know what the promises are. You must know what these spiritual resources are and the fact that they are available for you in Christ. Very simple, but very instructive. Write that down, please. The first key to manifesting spiritual realities, the first key to making the promises of God manifest, to making it yea and amen, yes and amen, is that you must know what the promises are. You must know what these provisions are. And then the fact that they are available for you in Christ. Say in the name of Jesus, there are divine provisions, supernatural resources, and promises for me available in Christ. Do you believe that? Divine resources, supernatural resources, promises available for the saints in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 puts it beautifully. The Bible says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's it right there. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Do you believe that? Oh, this is powerful. All spiritual blessings. I receive, I manifest your power. It will come to pass. Amen. I believe. I believe it won't fail. Amen. You believe that? I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom until the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified, so it will come to pass. Amen. I believe, yes, I believe it won't fail. Amen. I believe. You must know what the promises are. The worship team helped to remind us: blessings, healing, health, victory, dominion, advancement. Do I remind you again that you are the head and not the tail? Do I remind you again that you are above and not beneath? Do I remind you again that you are indomitable in Christ? Do I remind you again that in the name of Jesus, your path is as a shining light that shines more and more? Do I remind you again that the works of your hands are blessed? Do I remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, the hand of the Lord is upon your life. It says, thou anointest my head with oil and my cup runneth over. Do I remind you again that even though you fall seven times, you can rise again? Pastor, you can rise again. Businessman, you can rise again. Debtor, you can rise again. He said, there is hope for a tree, even if it be cut off, at the scent of water, as the scent of water. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up. What do you say to that word? Say it will come to pass. That's your testimony. I'm not just exciting you. We are programming realities. For it won't fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you number two. You must be aware of the promises of God. That's the reason why we study scripture. It's one of the reasons why we come to church and we sit down laboriously so, week after week, learning the ways of God, looking like a fool while you are learning, but growing in the spirit, building capacity. Number two, the second key. You must have knowledge of the participatory conditions that are connected to manifesting the promises. You will never, never excel if the only thing you know is that the promises are there. You must have knowledge of the participatory conditions connected to manifesting the promises. We've read Leviticus 9 and verse 6, a scripture that has become for us an anthem in this house. Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you." There is what you must do. There is how you must engage. Are we together? Again, I was talking to a family in US and Canada this morning, and I was telling them that the dynamics of appropriating healing is different from the dynamics of prospering financially in the kingdom. It's different from the dynamics of commanding kingdom influence. You see that? Is different from the dynamics of appropriating longevity. These are all realities in Christ, but you must know not just that they are there, you must understand how to engage them. You must understand how to engage them. The knowledge of the dynamics and how to make this work. The knowledge of the participatory conditions. So for an example, if God says he's lifting you higher, that is his proposition to you, but there are things you must do. You must understand the laws of influence, like honor, like the power of prayer, like humility. You see that now? One who perpetually walks in pride will never have the lifting power of Jesus walk in the life of that person, because he said God himself opposes the proud. So you can confess in the name of Jesus, I'm going higher, I'm rising higher, and it may not be a reality because there are conditions connected to it. For an example, if your whole life is about self, you will not be able to represent the purposes of God. God cannot trust you with certain weights of honor and liftings. Do you know why? Because when you lift him high, then he lifts you so that you will have more opportunity to lift him high. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. Glorify your son," John 17, 1, "that thy son will bring glory unto you." So when you are all about an obsession to be known, you can't do much with God. That's the condition. So you may see it in the word of God that it's your heritage to be lifted, to rise, to shine, and you can keep confessing it, but it may never come to pass because you have violated the conditions connected to appropriating it. Do you understand now? Very important. Number three. So two is the knowledge of the participatory conditions connected to manifesting the promises. Number three, you must release your faith. This is very important. No, you must engage the word in prayer. Number three is engaging the word in prayer. There is no issue of concern that you cannot pray about, that you should not pray about. Mark 11, verse 24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, not if you choose to pray, not if you want to pray, when ye pray as a lifestyle, as a habit, believe in the place of prayer that you receive and you shall have them." Engaging the word of God in prayer. Father, this is what you have said. I bring it to you in the place of prayer. The Bible says, present your cause, said the Lord. It said, bring forth your strong reasons. Present your cause, said the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons. The place of prayer. I spent a major part of this morning praying for an example over this sermon and praying over this song, praying over you and praying over the body of Christ as they receive this song. That it has come does not guarantee it will bless. That God wants it to bless people does not guarantee that there will be the hearing ear. Are we together? So I prayed, invested prayer. Lord, let it please you to invest your glory upon this song. Invest your glory upon this teaching. Place grace upon this frail voice. Move through the frailty of my communication. Let your word bring light. Draw your people that as they come, their lives will never be the same. So what you see happening tonight is not just God's intention. It's profitable partnership with the word of God. Profitable partnership. Take everything to God in prayer, no matter how silly, no matter how serious. It's part of the process of appropriating and manifesting divine realities. Let me give you number four now, very quickly. Engage through obedience. Release your faith through obedience. Release your faith through obedience. Obedience to God's word. Listen to me. Obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's instruction, I wrote here, is the only way to commit God's integrity to manifest his power in your life. Obedience to God's word, not desiring to see his power manifest. Obedience to God's word, obedience to the conditions that are connected to the promises you desire, is the only way to commit God's integrity to manifest his power in your life. I think I've said it in this house, if I recall, that no amount of sacrifice, no amount of spirituality will replace obedience. If God says move left and you sing praise and worship while you are standing at the right and he keeps calling you and says, look, it is left, you may not see his power. You see that now. If he wants to show you mercy, he will carry that dimension and bring it there. But if he finds a sincere heart, if he finds a rebellious heart, you will stay there and not see the good of God manifest in your life. Many believers will prefer to fulfill all spiritual activities minus obedience. All spiritual activities minus obedience. There are people who want to give their way to replace obedience. When the Bible says pray, they hate prayer, but they carry a seed and as though bribe God. They just say, Lord, I didn't pray, but at least I gave a seed. No, sir, it doesn't work that way. Obedience to God's word, obedience to God's instructions is the only way to commit God's integrity to manifest his power in your life. No amount of sacrifice will substitute the place for obedience. Please write this. 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22 and 23. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. The Bible talks about obedience. It said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. A lot of believers like laborious spiritual activities, and sometimes they think because they are laboring in the spirit or they are doing spiritual things rather than obeying God, they believe that magically the energy that is invested in the various activities in disobedience will cover for the place of obedience. Sometimes obedience can look childlikely simple, but you just obey. If it be thou, bid me come. The instruction is to come. If you walk around jumping, if you now start fetching water and doing all kinds of things, you are not obeying. The blessing is connected to getting up and then walk. Fill six pots and fetch from it. Take it to the rulers. That's the instruction connected to turning water to wine. If you carry the pot and say, no, Father, I will wash this pot seven times and leave it empty, will it turn to water? No. Will it turn to wine? No. Now, you imagine someone who is washing and scrubbing and saying, at least Jesus Christ will see what I'm doing and magically turn the water to wine. No. No. He met a man 38 years 38 years at Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda, and he gave him an instruction: rise up, take up your bed, and walk away. All of the excuses the man kept giving didn't matter. If you don't rise up and move, you are in trouble. He made spittle from sand and his saliva and put it on the eye of that man and said, go to Siloam and wash, meaning send. Go to Siloam and wash. And if you do go and wash, you will come back seeing. The man would have sat down there and said, I'm blind, but I know whoever you are, you must be stupid. This cannot be Jesus. His anger at Jesus would not open his eyes. He had to find a way. I don't know how he did it, but I presume he shouted and said, somebody please help me. I don't know how to get there, but I know there's somebody who loves me enough. The same word that instructed him also touched the heart of somebody to be willing to help him. And somebody helped him. And he went to Siloam, he washed, and he returned back rejoicing. I'm praying for you. Like our Father and the Lord will say, the grace for delightsome obedience, let it be released upon you. And the grace for obedience on time, on time, on time, on time. Not when you've been beaten down as a result of disobedience. I pray for you, like Father Abraham. The Bible says when God instructed him to carry Isaac, he got up early in the morning. If he had gone late, only God knows what would have happened to the ram that was caught up there. The Bible says he got up early, early, and left. Number five, thanksgiving. The fifth way to manifest supernatural realities after you have obeyed, ensure that you void yourself of offense. Thanksgiving. Philippians 4 and verse 6 gives us a profound instruction. Philippians 4, 6. It says, be anxious. The word careful there is anxious. Be anxious for nothing. It says, but in everything by prayer. Again, you see it there. And supplication with thanksgiving. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. With thanksgiving. You've already prophesied it will come to pass. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you in advance as an act of faith. I know that my eyes will see your salvation in my life. Thank you, Jesus. It's one of the prayer models you've been taught. The prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you because I know that I'm going from glory to glory. Thank you, Jesus. My eyes have not seen it manifest, but I know they will see it. Therefore, I thank you in advance because your word can be trusted. Hallelujah. Learn to say thank you. Someone lift your hands just right where you are. And would you say thank you, Jesus? You're not wasting your time. Go ahead. Thank him in advance for everything you prophesied that would come to pass. You said a job will come to pass. Say thank you, Jesus. You said marriage will come to pass. Say thank you, Jesus. You said your child will arrive. Hail and hearty. Say thank you, Jesus. You said finances are coming by the wisdom of God, by relationship. Say thank you, Jesus. Next level blessings coming to you by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing in greater proportions coming. The spirit of wisdom in greater proportions coming. Would you say thank you, Jesus? Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is powerful, very powerful, profoundly powerful. Let me give you the sixth, patience. Patience. The sixth key, as far as making the word yes and amen in your life is concerned, is patience. Hebrews 6:15. Many believers have been cheated right here. So after he had patiently endured, the he being Abraham, patiently endured. I wish I'd tell you sometimes that as soon as God says it, now look at me. Notice what you said about this song. It will come to pass. He can make it happen immediately. He can make it happen next week. Your assurance is that he will make it happen. Sometimes when it looks like God delays, it's because he's clearing what will make the blessing a waste if it came earlier. So he will send those mountains and those giants away, and then he will release the blessing so that you can enjoy it. I told you, when God is silent, learn to give thanks.
It means many things. It can mean he has gone ahead of you to clear the giants that will frustrate the blessing from profiting you. Of what good is it if God gives you something and the next moment, did you not read in your Bible? He said, thou shalt increase my greatness. Help me complete that scripture. And comfort me on every side. It is dangerous to have greatness increased and there is no comfort. The opposite of that scripture is we are troubled on every side. That all the trouble in your life started because they promoted you and you receive a threat letter. And you are saying, God, what is this? Okay, take the promotion. It will not be like that for you. When God lifts you, you will find rest in your lifting. In the name of Jesus Christ. Patience. Many believers have need of patience. They truly have need of patience. Many believers have need of patience. Sometimes we get too in a hurry with God, and sometimes we try to impose our timing. That's why the Bible has comforted us with that scripture. It says God is not slack. Give it to us again, media. Apostle Peter is teaching us that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Can we look at that? Okay, well, KJV is fine. The Lord is not slack. You know the word slack? It means inertia, draggy, as though he does not want to make it happen. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Meaning if it does not happen immediately, sometimes you can say, Father, turn my water to wine now. I want the water in the pot to turn to wine. And he says, no, it's not in the one in the pot I want to turn to wine. It's the one that you fetch while you are going. You fetch it, and as you move, there's process. There are times the Bible will say according to the time of life. There are times the Bible will say immediately. It's still God doing it. The one who works immediately and the one who works before the year's end is still the same God. Yours is to learn patience. Once you believe that God has heard you, learn patience. Who is learning now? Patience. Learn patience. Learn patience. There are dimensions in our lives, dimensions of grace, that if we had our way, we would have prayed and said, God, bring it earlier. It looked like it was a little longer. But now that it has come, we see the value of his wisdom, that it was not delayed. He was building our capacity so that as it lands, it does not become a curse. Is somebody learning now? You have need for patience. Man of God, you have need for patience. Businessman, you have need for patience. You see, every time you rush God, you will give birth to what fights your blessings. Every time you want to help God in the flesh, be careful so that your impatience will not give birth to Ishmael. God will still give you Isaac if you are patient. Apostle is 25 years. He's not changed his word. The arrival of Isaac will be like 100 years put together. But if you are patient, and did you know sometimes mysteriously, the closer you are coming to the end of the waiting season, the greater the temptation for compromise. Because Satan already knows. He senses that you are in a season where the wilderness experience is about wrapping up. And he will push you to do something that will birth the child that fights your promise. Someone say, I receive grace to be patient. Say it again. Say, I receive grace to be patient. Something happened in my life not too long that almost brought tears out of my eyes. It was an opportunity that was orchestrated many years ago. And Satan would have used that opportunity. If I had fallen for that opportunity, it would have destroyed my life. Destroyed my life and destroyed this work. It was painful to wave it goodbye, but I did with joy. And God just found a way of routing that opportunity so cheaply to bring it. You know, and I laughed when I looked at it and I said, this God, wait, Isaac will still come. This is a prophetic word for someone. Isaac can mean the ministry. Isaac can mean the wife. Isaac can mean the husband. Isaac can mean the child. Somebody will tell you, okay, come. You know, this God's way, this money is coming slow. It's coming like dew in heaven. There's a way you can go and rain will come. You'll be surprised. That rain will become for you a flood that will kill you like Noah's flood. Patience is powerful. It looks like folly, But if you learn to wait upon the Lord, did you not read in your Bible that they that wait, not they that rush on God? The word of God is quick, but those who receive that word must learn to wait. Learn to wait. Learn to wait. There is something called the patience of faith. Now, very quickly, as we seek to tie this up, what does yes and amen mean according to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 1:20? It says, all the promises of God, in him they are yes, in Christ they are yes and amen. I just want to give you three perspectives and then we'll find somewhere to pray. When the Bible says God's words and his promises are yes and they are amen, what does that mean? Number one, it means that all his promises are already finished in Christ. Spiritual realities, your blessings, everything that makes for life and godliness is already finished in Christ. I taught you here in Koinonia, you must have this mentality that it is finished in Christ. Your healing, your health, finished in Christ. Your tomorrow, finished in Christ. The Bible says, declaring the end, the beginning, the end from the beginning or so. God finishes before he starts. Yes and amen means all the promises, all the blessings, everything required for your serving the purposes of God in victory, everything required for your walking in dominion, everything required for your living out the God life to its fullest is already finished in Christ. Yes and amen. Number two, the second implication of this statement is that the power of God is already available to bring it to pass, to make it manifest in your life. Yes and amen means the power of God that is responsible for translating these divine realities to become manifest here and now is already on ground. The power resides with the Holy Spirit and can be made available for the saints on demand. Yes and amen means the power of God is already available to bring to pass every word. We said it powerfully here. I believe every word that's been spoken to me. I taught you here that the power of God always and only goes the direction of the will of God, the direction of the word of God. I say that again. The power of God always and only goes the direction of the will of God, the direction of the word of God. If God is healing, his power goes the direction of healing. If God is lifting, his power goes the direction of lifting. Are we together? If God is delivering, if he's restoring, if he's opening doors, the assignment of the power of God, hear me, is to bring to pass the speakings of God. The assignment of the power of God is to make good, to make manifest in the life of the believer and the receiver and the practitioner that which God has said would come to pass. Not the life of a Christian. No, sir. You can be a Christian, but if you are not a believer, if you are not a receiver, and if you are not an obedient practitioner, you will not see the word of God manifest, even though you are in Christ. Yes and amen means never doubt the power of God when you are laying claims on the promises of God, when you expect divine realities to be made manifest. I believe sound of revival, like it was for us in Liverpool, it will be for us in Atlanta, it will be for us in Toronto, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there will be massive salvation of souls. You believe that? Yes. Why? Because the power, the dimension of power that's responsible for birthing that outcome is already available through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Say the power for my rising. Say it again. Say the power for my rising. The power for my prospering. The power for my stability. The power for my advancement. The power for my flourishing is available in Christ through his Spirit. Yes, sir. If God says, I'm calling you into the healing ministry, yes and amen to that statement means the dimension of the anointing required to make you a worthy host of grace is already there, according to the power that works in us. That's why he gave us the Holy Ghost. We consider that the advantage of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe this? Businessmen, be conscious of that power. Pastors, be conscious of that power. Don't just be conscious of what God can do. There is power. Look at me. How many of you know that I can set up a program? For an example, I can say I want to give scholarship to 10, 20 people. Now, that is an information that reflects my desire for them. Are we together? I can go as far as setting up a committee, but you may not know that I have transferred the money and it's already in the account. How many of you know people begin to rejoice when the committee people say, wow, the money has finally arrived? From the time I said it, people begin to rejoice. This is an example. Are we together? They rejoice because they trust my integrity, but they've not gotten an alert. But the day they get the alert, they know that everything to limit that manifestation is already gone. They tell the people, start rejoicing. Send your account number. The power that sponsors your ministry is already available. The power that takes your family, I'm telling you, from that place of pain, untimely death, is already available. The power to take Koinonia from where it is to the next level of our prophetic destiny is already there. The power to move us from where we are to our permanent site is already there. The power to move you from a tenant to a landlord is already there. You have to be aware, not just that the word is there, but the power that backs the word is there. And the Lord walking with them, confirming the word. And the Lord walking with the businessman, confirming the word. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Joshua Selman with the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Koinonia. How God anointed your company. How God anointed your family with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Bible says you went about, you go about in the morning. Blessed are you in the city. Blessed are you in the country, because you have the backing of God. Power, sir. When you say yes and amen, it means the power to ward off every attack is already there. It means the power to keep you strong when you are discouraged is already there. Are we together? It means the power to ignore the stamina, the staying power, to ignore the naysayers while you rise is already there. When you say yes and you say amen, the power to change your family story is already there. It may not look like it, but let God be true. Koinonia, let God be true. And every man, every condition. Oh. Hey, ah, hey, ah, hey. 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 It said, when I sent you, lackest thou anything? When I sent you to start business, the power to make you win is there. Don't show me your balance sheet and that you lost. The power to help you rise. When I sent you, the power to cause an axe head to float is still there. The power to heal the sick is still there. It was part of the commission. When I made you a father, the power to pay your child's school fees is already there. You must take advantage of it. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom. One more time. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom. It will come to pass. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but honestly speaking, I walk conscious of the fact that if it is God that has sent me, the power to make it happen also came with the word. I told you, in my life, I don't see limitations, and I'm not trying to brag. My only limitation is the voice of God and process. I don't see mountains. I don't recognize them in my world.
It will come to pass.
Don't look down on David. There is power on that sling. God sent him. He may be young, but God sent him. Don't look down on Samson. There is power to tear and to destroy the Philistines. Don't look down on him. Don't look down on Joseph. There is power to interpret dreams and provide an economic solution at a macro level. Listen, stop looking down on yourself. God did not just give you a message. He did not just give you a mandate. He gave you power. He said, "Ye shall receive." After you receive the mandate, what else do you receive? Power. You have received the message, but tarry ye. Tarry ye. You will fail in life if you go with the message alone. You will fail in life if you go with the mandate alone. You wait until the power comes. Lord, if you have anointed me to be a man of God in Abuja, to be a man of God in Lagos, to be a man of God anywhere, I have received the mandate, but send the power. Let it come. The power that makes the difference. The power that redefines my possibilities. Let me tell you this. Hear me. Don't doubt a man that knows that he has power from God. You will be surprised. It will look like it will not happen, but you will watch before your very eyes mighty miracles. You will watch before your very eyes wilderness becoming a fruitful vine. I'm telling you, we have learned this from our fathers. They made ordinary statements that looked braggadocious. They made ordinary statements. It sounded like arrogance, but they were under the inspiration of the Spirit. The power to make it happen came on them. Today, they are living legends, communicators of divine possibilities. We are not the first.
It won't fail. Amen.
My brother, you are not the first to build a house. If it looks like it's not coming to pass, maybe you have received the message, but wait for the power. The power is a trigger. Let it arrive. The power to get wealth. Let it arrive. And let me see what business will not open for you. The power for kingdom influence. Let it arrive. And let me see what door to what nation will not open for you. Visa? No, it's because the power has not arrived. I tell you sincerely, let the power arrive. Hallelujah. When the power arrives, you will call on one nation. And nations will respond to you, not because you are special, because the power mandates. It's true. This is how we win in the kingdom. We tarry until power arrives. But when it does arrive, be careful what you say. Find a man without power and talk about them. But the one who has received, doing business by the Holy Ghost, you talk carelessly, you will say, "I'm sorry," for the rest of your life. As many as received him, he gave them power. As many as received him, he gave them power. As many as received the word, he gave them power. You are not without help. The power of the Holy Ghost can help you. My dear sister, you are not without help. I know that all the men in the family don't seem to be rising, and it looks like you are the first who is about to open the door. Don't be afraid, my dear. There's power available for you. Tremendous power. Ask Esther. Tremendous power. Ask Deborah. Tremendous power. Ask Ruth. Ask Naomi. Tremendous power.
It will come to pass. Amen. I believe it won't fail. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. Do you know that when God truly sends you, you are not the only one he speaks to about your assignment? Everybody to help you, the same spirit mandating you, is already being quickened in the heart of everyone who will stand by you. is just for you to know how to align, and then bone will begin to connect to bone. When God speaks to you, part of those who will make that business come to pass may be in America. Some of them will be in Russia. Some of them may be in Kano. By your intelligence, how do you bring them together? But allow the sent word. The Bible says, I prophesied as I was commanded, and bones, whether one bone is in Kano, bones talk of structures. Structures. Listen, by the message of God, there are people today that I have met as a person, that we have met as a ministry. It was clear God sent them. But as at the time the mandate was coming, I never would have been able to use my intelligence to know that this and this and that person would be useful. Baby Jesus in the flesh would not have known that he will need a Joseph of Arimathea. Baby Jesus would not have known that he would need a Simon of Cyrene. Baby Jesus would not have known in the flesh, but they were already stationed. So when you try to kill Joseph of Arimathea, part of the reason why he remains alive is because his graveyard will need to host Jesus. There are men who cannot die because you have already said yes. Your saying yes will keep them alive, because their dying will make God look like a liar. Is somebody learning now? That's the implication of saying yes. The dead cannot praise you. There are men who have been appointed to death. The way you keep them alive is not to pray for them. It's to say, Lord, I believe you. And God says, for your sake, I will keep them alive. They have the influence to make family, ministry, business work for you. Did you not read about Anna the prophetess? The Bible says she should not taste death until she saw the consolation of Israel. That means no matter what enchantment against her, there was a mandate, and it was tied to the arrival of Jesus. There was nothing you would do that would make her die. The day she saw Jesus, she said, now let your maidservant find rest. I've seen him. He has arrived. Let me tell you, there are men who will not die. It doesn't matter what enchantment. And there are men, because of them, you will not die. You are too significant. You have been ordained. There is a mandate on your life that you should contribute to their rising, their shining, their being born again. So when you say yes and amen, you mean the power that keeps you, the power that brings. God is able to make all grace abound. Profound scripture. He's able to make all grace, financial grace, relational grace. He can draw them as though by a magnet and make them abound towards you, so that ye, having sufficiency, where will the keyboardists come from? The grace will bring them. Where will the business partner come from? The grace will bring them. What if a wicked one comes? The grace will edit them. Let me give you the final key. We're done. Worship team, can you come up again? Yes and amen for a final thought tonight means, number three, that in spite of the fact that it is finished in Christ, available for your taking, in spite of the fact that the power of God is available to bring it to pass, it will always require divine partnership to make the promises manifest. When you say yes and amen, it is beyond a declaration. It is the receiving, agreeing to the responsibility of divine partnership. Write that down. Yes and amen is your agreeing to the responsibility of divine partnership. Is it CEV? I wish I can remember the scripture. See, the Passion Translation thereabout, either the Passion Translation or CEV of 2 Corinthians 1:20, it talks about partnership. It puts it, a beautiful rendition of it. Give it to us. Let's try it and see. When you are saying yes and amen, ladies and gentlemen, you are not saying, Lord, yes, bring it to pass. You are saying, yes, I come into that divine alignment so that the Spirit and the bride will tell the word to come. I've taught you, it's called the God-man partnership. Look for the scripture for us, whether CEV or the Passion Translation. If you don't have that, that's fine. That's all right. We'll just walk for sake of time. Hallelujah. Someone listen to me. The one who decides to partner with God is the one who will see promises finally manifest. The one who decides to partner with God. God wants Jesus to come. Mary donates her womb. God-man partnership. Are we together? God desires to save man. Jesus becomes the Word incarnate. Now he carries a material body. The Spirit of God in partnership with the Word Jesus brings salvation to us. There is nothing that spells victory that will compromise the God-man partnership order. God desires it. He will be at work in you both to will and to do. But it is your responsibility to believe, and then to come into that partnership. God desires Koinonia to rise to the highest prophetic heights that will afford us the opportunity to serve His grace as far as the scope of our mandate is concerned. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, saying yes and amen to prophecy does not bring it to pass. Saying yes and amen to the mandate, then you must also say yes and amen to the doing grace, the partnership grace, that Lord, this is what you desire to do. We align with you in prayer. We align with you through obedience. We align with you by walking in keeping with the principles that make good what you have said. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a season right now, and there are not many times we enter major seasons like this without God directly opening my eyes to it. How we stepped into this season of faith and trust and the integrity of God's word, it was something that just came in. I didn't have any special revelation, any special vision. I just found out that the Holy Ghost, the Bible says it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do. Sometimes God tells you, sometimes He just moves you. You just find yourself into a season and you know by the Spirit of God. That's how I believe came last week. So God is doing a re-engineering. We are in a season where there is much that heaven wants to release, but our capacity must be built to know that God is able. God is able. This song has come tonight as not just a clarion call, but a ladder, hopefully in the spirit, that many can climb and ride on it and position themselves. Beautiful. Amplified classic. It says, but it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ and has consecrated and anointed us, enduring us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. That's the definition of that. Is that 20? No, go to 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. Yes. For as many as the promises of God, it says they all find their yes answer in Him. That's Christ now. For this reason, we also utter the amen. So be it to God through Him. Are you seeing that now? Because He said yes, our own is amen. Let it be so.
It will come to pass. Amen. I believe it won't fail. Amen.
We're going to sing this song just once, and I'd like you to join us. But joining us in this song means see yourself as making a pledge. Say, Father, as I rejoice over this song, I am receiving a call to responsibility. My walking in healing, yes and amen, but I have a role to play. I receive grace. My walking in victory, yes and amen, but I receive responsibility to play my role. My excelling in ministry, working tremendously in weightier dimensions of the anointing, yes and amen, but I receive grace to play my role in righteousness. My rising and growing in influence, yes and amen, but I receive grace to participate. If you are able to do this, then for you it will not be a song. It will be a door called yes and amen. You will open that door into a realm of possibilities beyond your imagination. Are you ready to celebrate this song as a song of victory? Rise up on your feet, everybody. Hey, ah, hey, ah, hey. 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 I receive. It is yes and amen for me. Yes and amen for ministry. Yes and amen for business. Koinonia Global, Body of Christ, our family connected and following online. Here's your chance. Lift your voice and begin to make declarations of faith. Use your words, use your obedience and your alignment. Prove the integrity of God's word. All his promises are yes. They are amen. God is not slack concerning his promises of deliverance, of healing. The word says, I'm blessed. I say, amen. The word says, I'm healed. I say, the word says, I'm anointed.
the word said over me.
I prophesy.
I prophesy. And God established.
We were.
Every word spoken to me.
I decree.
I prophesy,
and
God is glad.
Every word
to me.
Say yes. I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes. I say yes.
I say yes.
To your word.
I say yes.
To your will,
I say yes.
To your power,
I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes.
I say yes. Someone go ahead and declare.
I say yes.
Yes to increase. Yes to advancement. Yes to fresh fire. Yes to prayer. Yes to the ministry of the word.
I say yes.
Say yes.
Say yes.
It will come to pass.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe,
Lord.
I believe it won't fail.
Let me prophesy over your life in the name of Jesus. I just sense a strong anointing in this place. I decree and I declare every promise, every word that's been revealed to you from scripture, or that which God has quickened in your spirit. The Bible says we see not our signs. There is none who says how long. I have come in the spirit and the power of a midwife, and I decree and declare that which has prolonged the manifestation of the word of God in your life, we bring it to end now. We bring it to end now. We bring delay to end now. We bring reproach to end now. In the name of Jesus, I speak the word over your life. Go forward. Go forward. Koinonia, go forward. I place grace on your head. Go forward. I place grace on your hand. Go forward. I place grace on your feet. Go forward. In business, advance. In ministry, advance. You will not fall in the name of Jesus. You will not fail in the name of Jesus. You will not go down in the name of Jesus. Upward and forward in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I declare welcome to a new season. A season of laughter, a season of lifting, a season of celebration in the name of Jesus. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, he said we were like them that dream, and our mouths were filled with laughter, and they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for us. It says the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I pray for you, the news that will make even your enemies celebrate with you, may God bring it in a hurry. I place a mark of honor upon your life. Men will treat you honorably. Favor works in your life. The anointing speaks evidently. Nothing dies in your hands. I said again, nothing dies in your hands. I speak over your children. They are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. You will call on one man and a nation will answer you. You will call on one man and institutions will answer you. They will call you Beulah. They will call you Hephzibah. You are the planting of the Lord. No decline in the name of Jesus. Hear me. Every door that has been closed over your life, closed over your family, I send a prophetic word. Ephata, let that door be open.
Father, let that door be open. Doors of business, doors of ministry, doors of marriages, doors of children. I speak it to your spirit. Doors of finances by wisdom. Doors of finances through strategic relationships. I pray for you. In the name of Jesus, you step into a level of fire, spiritual fire, prayer fire, word study fire. In the name of Jesus.
It won't fail. Amen. I believe.
We're out of time. Allow me a few minutes to make the altar call. Here's what will happen. I ask the worship team to come out because I want this song to enter your spirit. We're going to make the altar call. And once we're done with the altar call, I've spoken the blessing over you. I'm going to give you room to come celebrate and worship team from start to finish. I'd like you to just take that song of worship again. Let's speak it to lives. Let's start with Koinonia. It says it starts from Jerusalem and then Judea, Samaria to the uttermost part. Body of Christ, I'd like you to join us one more time as we celebrate this song, but after the altar call. Look up, please, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest gift God gave man is not healing. It's not a car. It's not a house. It's not promotion. It's not visa. It's not even anointing. The greatest gift God gave man is Jesus and the life that comes with him and the peace that comes with him and the opportunity to become partakers of his divine nature. There are three gifts we receive upon declaring the lordship of Jesus in our lives. Number one, we receive the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. Number two, we become in experience the righteousness of God in Christ according to the authority of Scripture. Number three, we become bona fide recipients of his life. It's called Zoe. That imputation, not the God kind of life, the very life of God. And with these, we begin our journey to victory, to dominion, and to serving the purposes of the kingdom. I want to give you an opportunity. Don't waste tonight. The Bible says in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You are at liberty to reject the call and walk away just as you came. But for someone on hearing this word, you are saying, Apostle, tonight is my night. Through the singing, through the songs, through all that has happened, I know for a surety that God is calling me. It is to such a one I'm speaking tonight. Whether you are following by reason of internet across the globe or you are here on site, all across our overflows, all across our expressions, give me the honor of leading you to Jesus. I have done this for a bit in my life and it never tires me to watch people come to Jesus. Whether you are making a first time decision or you are rededicating your heart to Jesus, whichever, you are most welcome. Five counts, I begin my count. Please leave your seat, take your bags if you are able to, your Bibles and everything you came to church with, and please respond to the call. Let's honor them as they come. Two, I'm counting one to five. Those outside, those across the overflows, please bring them quickly. Three, Koinonia, is this how you celebrate salvation? The greatest gift, more than miracles, more than anointing, the privilege to be called his own. It says, now are we the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. As many as received him, he gave them power to become, even to them that believed on his name. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, male or female, white or whatever color, you shall be saved. You're responding to this call now. Three, I'm counting to five. I still see people coming. Let's celebrate them as they come. This is unto Jesus, unto the living word, the King of kings, the yes and amen. This is your partnership. You are in divine partnership with God for your salvation, for your rising. Four, a final count and we pray. If you are coming, please make haste. Run very quickly. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you so much, my dear brothers and sisters. We do this every other day, every opportunity God gives us. to minister to people, and I am delighted to have you respond to this call. I believe God brought you by His Spirit tonight, and we're honored to midwife your becoming saved and your becoming born again. And this is a similar appreciation for those of you who are making this decision across the airwaves. Please make sure you take it seriously. We cannot see you, we may not see you, but God sees you wherever you're connected from. Lift your right hand if you are able to. Please say this as loud and as clear as you are able to. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I believe you. You are the Word of God, the living Word, my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that I love you with all my heart. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. With your hands still lifted, let me pray a blessing over you. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Upon the profession of your faith, I declare by the authority of Scripture that you are from this day, this moment, this night, bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live the victorious Christian life, we impart it upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. You walk in righteousness, you walk in grace, and in ever-increasing glory, from glory to glory. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen. Please do me a favor. There are counselors waving the placard at you. Men and women who are trained, they love you. They'll pray with you, give you a few information, and then you are back to your seat. Let's honor them as they go. Let's honor them as they go. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you very much for your time, your patience. For all of you who have traveled from within and outside of this city, it's always a joy. When we welcome you, it's no church ritual. We are a house of honor, and just for you to know that we truly love and honor you. It's always a joy to have people fellowship with us from across the nations. And for our family connected online, thank you. Thank you. You make our ministry worth the while. You make the time invested in the study of the word worth the while. And I want to say thank you. Praise the name of the Lord. So here's what we'll do. I'll just say a word or two on Sound of Revival. We're just 5 weeks away. So allow me for one last time. Well, for today, we'll do that every week until the time there. So Canada, Toronto, and Atlanta for US. We're reminding you again of Sound of Revival. Our 2026 edition is going to be a phenomenal time in God's presence. There you have the bills. Please, everyone, send the word far and wide. Let it go as far as it can go. And for those who are unable, who have been unable to do the registration, I think some people reached me and I got emails, some people saying they're trying to register. I'm not sure it should be difficult. There's a QR code for both Canada and US. So please do walk. If you are not able to scan, okay, I get it now. Some persons complained that they are not able to use, some are not that tech savvy to know how to use the QR code. There is a provision, there are emails and numbers for you to call. We don't just want it abused, and we don't want to overwhelm our PR team. But for many of you who require that, there you have it projected. Please do well. You can use the email and you can use the phone lines to just let us know that you desire to register. And I'm sure that the officials will work patiently with you to have you registered. Praise the name of the Lord. We're 5 weeks away. Give, pray, plan, invite many. More importantly, be there. The Lord bless you. We speak the blessing upon these bills, and we pray that they'll go across the entire North America. And we declare and declare that there'll be, like never before, a harvest of souls, transformed lives, supernatural manifestations of God's grace, the outpouring of the Spirit. And it's in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen and amen. How many of you are rejoicing over God's word? Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Right, we'll share the grace. When we do, please, you are at liberty. You can come stand here. I'll just clear the way for the protocol, the worship team, and they'll just lift up sounds of worship. Let's just celebrate for 10 minutes. Celebrate the sent word. You are receiving it for your spirit and those who are connected across the globe one more time. I think after now, our media will put up the song online and it will be available for your spiritual edification in Jesus' name. Have you been blessed tonight? Amen. Let's share the grace in fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Please do me a favor one more time. Would you give the Koinonia worship team a big God bless you? It's been tireless nights of rehearsals and all of that. One more time, let's celebrate them. Let them know and feel loved. May God bless you in Jesus' name. All right, so you're welcome. We'll see you next week Sunday. Please make sure you don't come alone. Make sure you come rejoicing. Bring as many people. God bless you in Jesus' name.